WPS, if WPS president is listening, I have no idea who that is, but it's Wisconsin Public Service, and they have...
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. His spokesman says Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley today canceling his planned trip to Israel and Jordan due to the armed rebellion in Russia. The trip was to have begun today.
The seriousness of the situation in Russia begins with the personnel that make up the Wagner Group, according to retired General Robert Abrams.
This is not a force to be underestimated. They're their best fighters.
He says even if the Putin regime survives this rebellion,
this is going to destabilize and continue to destabilize the Russian government and their actions ongoing in Ukraine.
The world continues to watch the events. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The National Celebrate Life Day rally held in D.C. today to mark 1 year since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, allowing states to ban abortion. Portions of the Yellowstone River in Montana are closed after a train carrying what may be hazardous chemicals derailed and landed in the river. A bridge carrying the train partially collapsed. This is ABC News. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland denies IRS whistleblower allegations that the Biden administration interfered with the tax evasion probe into Hunter Biden. ABC's M. Nguyen is at the Department of Justice.
Garland pushing back on claims that decisions on this case had been influenced by politics and that Trump-appointed attorney David Weiss, who led the investigation, had been turned down in his request to be named the special counsel.
Mr. Weiss never made that request to me.
The whistleblowers brought forward by congressional Republicans who accused the DOJ of granting preferential treatment to Hunter, the president's son who agreed to plead guilty to a pair of tax-related misdemeanors and a gun charge to avoid a felony record.
The Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department Friday announced a new rewards program to get illegal gun holders off the streets. Capital District residents can get up to $2,500 for the arrest of suspects with an illegal gun. If the suspect carries a ghost gun or a gun with an automatic conversion, the reward goes up to $5,000. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Smoke from Canadian wildfires and exhaust from cars and trucks led to several air quality alerts in Wisconsin this week. Over in Utah, they do something every year called the Clean Air Challenge, where they encourage people to use other kinds of transportation. Alex Gonzalez reports.
This might mean carpooling, using public transportation, walking or biking, as well as consolidating trips or working from home when you can. Kim Frost with the Utah Clean Air Partnership says nearly half of the pollutants that contribute to poor air quality can be attributed to emissions from cars and trucks. Frost says the alternatives can not only help improve air quality, but could also save you time, money, and gas.
This is really a way to bring attention to that and help Utahns understand how they can be part of that solution and reduce our emissions by just making small, simple changes.
Since the first year of the Clear the Air Challenge in 2009, Utahns have made 1.3 million fewer trips, saved more than 20 million miles, and reduced their emissions by more than 6,700 tons. Frost says in years past, the challenge would take place in February, which is when Utah typically experiences the winter inversion period, when air quality visibly deteriorates. This year, the event will take place in July to address the state's summertime ozone issues.
We have some ozone issues in Utah, particularly along the Wasatch Front, that are causing us more and more concern. And so we wanted to get people involved in the challenge in July so that they not only were making changes during the summer when we need it, but also it's an education opportunity for us.
Governor Spencer Cox has invested what she calls huge amounts into active transportation trails, specifically designed for people on conventional and electrical bikes as well as pedestrians, all in an effort to reduce commuter traffic. I'm Alex Gonzalez.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
This is Earl Ingram's voice. You'll be hearing this is Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. Actually, I'm sitting in for Earl Ingram and Gilbert Brown. Now, those are, that's filling some really big chairs, in fact. I'll be here this morning, the Juneteenth day. Earl has a much earned day off, and Juneteenth day is an important day to celebrate. Calvin, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to a good week. How are you, Sandy?
Well, I'm pretty good. You're very quiet.
Let's see what I can do about that.
There you go. There you go. Juneteenth Day. You know, it's a pretty important day. You know, the sin of slavery that America had was not a sin only shared by Americans. Slavery has been something that's kind of plagued mankind for a long time. Back 2,000 years ago, at the time of Christ, there were plenty of people enslaved and people at risk of being enslaved by the Roman Empire. And just about every empire in the past has enslaved people. The people enslaved weren't just Africans. The Jews were enslaved to build, in fact, some of the Colosseum in Rome was built by Jewish slaves. The Egyptians enslaved Jews. And in fact, Russia, interestingly, the Emancipation Proclamation in the United States in 1861, in that very same year in Russia, which had the feudal system that operated for a very long time, they had serfs, and the serfs in Russia were in fact enslaved, and they were released from slavery in 1861 at the very same time. So in the mid-19th century, the world seemed to wake up and realize that slavery was not a tenable thing, something that shouldn't continue to exist. And happily here in America, we rid ourselves of it. And we celebrate it today, a federal holiday, Juneteenth. It'll be interesting. I'd be interested in CJ and others who call in because we worry about the things we teach in our curriculum in school and whether we have critical race theory. But Juneteenth is actually a federal holiday designed to remind us all, much like Germans need to be reminded of the horrors that occurred during World War II. It seems to me that we in America do need to be reminded of the horror of slavery and the glory that was the release of the slaves. So I think we celebrate Juneteenth Day appropriately, and it is now a federal holiday, which is what it ought to be. Calvin, this is a call-in show. How do people call into this show?
You call in at 844-967-2789.
And, you know, normally when Earl's here, we have some levity in the beginning. We talk about, well, sports. Well, baseball. I was listening to the news there about the Pittsburgh game, and it struck me that they spent more words talking about what could happen in an inning and what could happen in a baseball game than I can possibly waste here today on baseball. We have Bradley Beal being traded. That is big news. And I think last week Earl was expressing hope that Beal might come to the Bucks. It looks like he's not. He's going to the Suns. And then after we talk about sports or something light, we have a whole litany of topics that pop up in the news in the current events. Today we have China. China's there in the news because we have Secretary of State Blinken making a visit to China that's getting a lot of attention. He had a meeting with Xi just today or in the last hours, and apparently that meeting lasted 35 minutes. But the ballyhoo about the meeting is important because obviously tensions with China have risen to a near crescendo. And while we would point at the Chinese and say that tensions have heightened because of their conduct, most of this crescendo is coming from the United States. It's coming from the conduct of Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan, followed by Kevin McCarthy greeting the president of Taiwan here in the United States, followed by just a great deal of discussion about China and the possibility that we needed to arm ourselves for the possibility of a war with China. All of this without, as far as I can tell, very much in the way of bellicose language coming from China. We have China, however, which it has the temerity right now of becoming a very successful economy. And according to the conservative theories that became prevalent in the United States in the 1990s, the so-called neoconservatives who were sort of in charge of the foreign affairs under Clinton and after the fall of Russia, the neocons' view was that the United States was to be the dominant country in the world perpetually and for as long as possible, and that we would do all that we could to make sure that that would continue to be the case, not just militarily, but also economically. And I fear that our problem with China right now is more premised on the fact that China is becoming is going quickly in the direction of becoming our economic equal. And for instance, today Xi is there visiting Germany, and the reason is that China is Germany's biggest trading partner. China is very important to Germany. And so, you know, we should recognize, and we do recognize, the importance of China in the world. And I fear that it's that importance itself which is creating our hostilities, and which are the hostilities which we know we need to tamp down, because we cannot afford, and the world cannot afford, for China and the United States to be at loggerheads. And then we have, of course, Donald Trump. We always talk about Donald Trump. And I fear everything that could be said about Donald Trump has been, but I also fear that we're just at the very beginning of a whole nother time period in which Donald Trump will be seizing all of our interest for a long time. We've got the campaign. We have debates that are coming up in just months. And so there'll be enough said about Donald Trump. We don't need to spend much time on him today. And then, of course, there's weather disasters. They happen every day. And right now we've got weather disasters sweeping the southern United States. And, you know, is there a climate change? Do we have to worry about the climate? Well, regardless of the cause of the climate change, there clearly is a climate change. And every day you can read about it in the headlines in the newspaper. You can also, if you try to read scientific journals, find out that our scientists are finding out more and more about the climate. I mentioned last week about the newly discovered changes in what will be the current, the changes that will occur and are occurring in the very important currents in the oceans that are essentially the heat exchangers for the Earth that moderate temperatures in the tropics and moderate temperatures in Northern Europe. And across the world. And those things are likely to change during our lifetime. So, weather. You know, all these things are kind of potential doomsdays, I suppose. We also have the Ukraine war, and the Ukraine war consumes our news daily. It gets to the back pages because there's not much new to report other than the fact that it continues. And there's also not much accurate to report because, lacking war correspondents like we've had in prior circumstances, we're left with the propaganda that is issued by the combatants, the Ukrainian news, in quotes, and the Russian news, in quotes, neither of which are to be trusted. And I think everyone knowledgeable about news will tell you that the news coming from either side is not to be trusted. So then the question is, what is actually happening in Ukraine? And that becomes a bit more of a mystery. Sports, we talked about Beal. We also have the golf. And golf is one of the few sports where someone named Wyndham Clark would win a championship. I mean, only in golf would we find, and I'm surprised his name isn't Wyndham Clark III, because that would have been so much more appropriate, but no. So, you know, we can go through all that litany, but today I thought, having this show to myself to deal with and to fill the shoes of Earl, I thought we could maybe talk about some themes. And today, the theme I'd like to talk about is the healthcare in this country, the status of healthcare, the status of health in this country, and the problem that healthcare poses, not just to Tom, Dick, and Mary, but to our country, the burden that it places on our economy, the huge expenditures we have. So we'll be going to a break. When we come back, I expect to talk more about healthcare. I've got some guests today to talk about it. To talk about it from various vantage points. So we'll be with you after the break. It's Healthcare Day.
Judge us simply cause our hair is long. All you know that we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Pick it flat and pick it sound. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah.
There are a few things in life that people get as emotional over than their finances, and that can be very dangerous when it comes to your investments. This is Jill Schlesinger, business analyst. Did you know investors lose money every year because they trade on emotions, headlines, and hearsay instead of data? But there's a solution. StockCharts.com. StockCharts.com has been the leading online charting tool that experts and disciplined traders have used for over 20 years. By utilizing the most advanced online charts, they're able to view and understand market history and investor sentiment by using technical analysis to manage their risk and find opportunities. You can do the same. Go to StockCharts.com for a free 30-day trial, pick the stocks and indexes you want to track, review historical data, spot the trends, then make informed decisions and invest with confidence. You'll also have access to a knowledge bank from leading global analysts on how to interpret an ever-changing market. Better insights for smarter investing. Go to StockCharts.com and start your free 30-day trial today.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Bringing you a fresh and healthy, fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 86. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 58. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 86. Upper 80s Saturday. Cooler Sunday with highs in the low 80s and storms possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Leroy Butler, the creator of the Lambeau Leap, Green Bay Packer, and all-around champion of humanity, is in the studio. And Leroy, we were talking about, before we went to break, man, we were talking about the one and only Reggie White.
Big dog.
So when he came to Green Bay, you were in Green Bay.
Yes.
And when you heard the conversation, I remember the conversations at Philadelphia, and there were people talking about Reggie White's moving.
Yep.
And when I heard Green Bay,
yes,
because I live in Wisconsin all my life, I didn't think it was any way possible.
Me too. Me too. Because he's the first guy, really free agent.
Right.
Shout out to your amazing wife, too. We were able to say hi to her in the break because I haven't talked to her in a minute, so I want to say hello to her. But he changed the losing culture in the
80s. One man?
Yes, because it was the thinking that the Bears had just did that. We are the Bears, right. The wrecking crew. In like 86 and 87, but it started to break up.
Right.
So now they're looking for another team. And then the Cowboys came around in the early 90s, San Francisco,
and
the Packers. But Reggie changed the locker room. We got Brett, and we started to put it together.
And you got other free agents because Reggie White came.
As Andre Rison.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl MVP, Desmond Howard.
Yeah.
You know, we put together a team, Earl, that was guys, grown men, and some babies.
Well, the other part of it is people, because I've been around so long, mm-hmm. I remember the glory years.
Yes.
And then in between, a lot of years when there wasn't a whole lot happening.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
And Reggie came in, and you guys went from where people mm-hmm. would only talk about the Packers mm-hmm. from the 60s, mm-hmm. and you created this whole new.
Yeah, because we played at County Stadium. The manager at the time of the Brewers was Phil Garner.
Yeah, oh, man, yeah.
Shout out to him. He was awesome, man. So we would play there, 40,000 people or whatever.
Right.
And I love playing in Milwaukee because I was like, man, these people yell during timeouts, man. They are lit.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is amazing. So they went back to Green Bay. I remember Reggie in a meeting, Earl. It was like 94 going to 95. He said, the only reason why I came is to win a Super Bowl. He said, we've never even mentioned Super Bowl ever because, I mean, we wasn't one of the top teams.
Yeah.
But Ron Wolf put together some, like you said, some great free agents. And then all of a sudden we lose to the Cowboys in 95 in the championship game. On the way back, Holmgren gets up walking on the plane before we got to our altitude where we cruise. You're supposed to stay seated
right.
with your seatbelt. He got up. He said, next year we're going to win it. He said, when y'all get to training camp, that's all we're talking about. And we want the smoke, basically. We're going to tell people we're going to win the Super Bowl. So Reggie changed the whole culture that we expect to win now. But it was like a 4 or 5 year stretch. We were so arrogant. At home, we were like 46-5.
Yeah, man, I know.
I mean, we were just killing people. I mean, so, and going out to San Francisco and beating them, they were one of the best teams in the league, went out there and beat them.
Well, they had Joe Montana, man.
I mean, you just couldn't make this stuff up.
Jerry Rice.
Yes.
I mean, they had Hall of Famers themselves.
George Seifert.
Yes.
I mean,
Ronnie Lott.
That culture in San Francisco was amazing. And we went there and just kind of disrupted.
Yeah, you did.
And yeah, so we really, because really it was just, again, two teams, Dallas and San Francisco in the early to mid 90s. And we kind of broke in there. So every team in that decade had like 3 to 5 years where he dominated. And Reggie, I mean, God is good because he was the perfect person
to
come in and change.
So let me ask you, man. Only a handful of players can again make it to the NFL Hall of Fame. Only a handful of players make it to the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But only less numbers make it to the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame, and win a Super Bowl. Right?
Yes.
You got a Super Bowl ring.
Yes.
Come on, man. You one of the luckiest players that ever lived. Is it safe to say that?
Oh yeah, no question. My mom, who was my hero, she passed away in 2016, and she used to say stuff like, one time, Earl, she told me in 2010, let's work on your Hall of Fame speech. I said, Mom, wait a minute. I haven't even made the
very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine today with a high of 82. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 57 tonight. Clear skies. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. Dry with temperatures near average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63.
Good morning, Sandy Williams, sitting in for not only Earl Ingram, but Gilbert Brown. I mean, talk about two big guys to sit in for. And today we're, as I said before the break, I think we're going to spend some time talking about healthcare. You know, we spend so much time, radio talk shows and radio and news generally, talking about the brush fires each day. And, you know, the brush fires are so predictable. I went through the litany before the break. You know, we've got China, dealings with China, something that sort of a problem we create, and now we're trying to stifle it. We've got Donald Trump. My God, that's something we can talk about any day, every day. Weather disasters, Ukrainian war. It's the same list. And one of the things that we don't do is talk about issues that hang over our heads every day, problems that we don't solve. And one of the biggest problems, I think, one of the ones that affects Tom, Dick, and Mary every day is health care, the cost of health care, the cost of health care insurance, the number of people uninsured. And if you just look at the data, you can see that the data tells us that health care is a serious problem in the United States. We spend in various years ranging from 17.8 to almost 20% of our GDP is spent on healthcare. That's an enormous number. It's an enormous number, not only because it's enormous for our country, but it's enormous as compared to any other country. I think Germany's the next highest, and in the year measured, it was under 13% that they spent on healthcare of their GDP. And if you look at the per capita expenditure, you can say, okay, well, we've got a lot of people. We spend more money. No, not actually. We spend 40, 50, 60% more per capita than any other country, and double almost any other country. So, you know, by any measure, we spend an enormous amount on health care, and that health care is a burden to us. So I asked a good friend, you know, there's an ad on TV that's about the most interesting man in the world, and that man is bearded, and actually the most interesting man in the world is John Hopkins, who's on the line, who's here with me. And John isn't bearded, but John knows a great deal about health care. John's a computer scientist, but he's applied his career in computer science to the healthcare. John, how are you this morning?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Sandy.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked to you, I think, maybe a month ago, and I thought you had some interesting vantage points to talk about some of this stuff about. But let's first try to qualify for people the extent to which healthcare is a problem for the American economy. I was giving some data there, but it's a burden that rests over the economy, rests over the people, and rests over the government, right?
It is. It's you started out with a couple of interesting statistics, but if we look at the numbers, we spend this 2022 is the last year we have numbers for, is about $4.3 trillion on healthcare. And that includes pharmaceuticals, going to the hospital, going to the doctor, buying a walker. Whereas the military, we spend about $877 billion,
and that, for education. I think that 877 is about 4% of our GDP.
Correct.
And incidentally, both of these numbers are
not magnified as they could be by the extent to which all that money, when it goes into the hands of the, goes into the pockets of the people who receive it in those industries, gets spent at restaurants, gets spent at drugstores, gets spent at grocery stores, and it gets magnified so that the percentage of our total GDP that's dependent on these things is larger than if you add those two together and get 24%. It's got to be a number up in the 35% range of our GDP that is dependent on these two industries.
Right. And I'm not sure what the exact number is there, but it could be easily 35, maybe even 40%. It's a very wide reaching number. Just like the, when, you know, people talk about the military complex, and the extent that it affects things, the healthcare complex is even more far reaching.
I mean, much bigger, right? I mean, the healthcare industry is by far our biggest industry. So, you know, people who want to beat their breasts about the American economy should recognize that our economy is in so many ways dependent on two industries, healthcare and defense, both of which have sort of a parasitic effect on the economy. I mean, they certainly draw from the economy money that could otherwise be spent on other things. I mean, how does it compare to education, for instance?
Well, education is around, federal government discretionary spending is about $78 billion in 2022. So one-tenth of the military and, you know, just a tiny little fraction of healthcare. And yet you could have a tremendous amount of leverage if you spent more in education that might help you alleviate some of the healthcare issues that we have.
So, I mean, you know, the dollars are finite and we spend this enormous amount of money on healthcare and we spend, a second level enormous amount of money on defense, all of which is money that could be expended on daycare for children, on education, educating our populace, could be spent on infrastructure improvements, high-speed rail, a variety of other things which it's not spent on. And so, you know, I think and how are the outcomes from our healthcare system? I mean, are we doing well? We spend so much more than everyone else. We must have much better outcomes for our population.
Well, we come in sort of in the top half, but only around the halfway mark. We don't do better.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. His spokesman says Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley today canceling his planned trip to Israel and Jordan due to the armed rebellion in Russia. The trip was to have begun today.
The seriousness of the situation in Russia begins with the personnel that make up the Wagner Group, according to retired General Robert Abrams.
This is not a force to be underestimated. They're their best fighters.
He says even if the Putin regime survives this rebellion,
this is going to destabilize and continue to destabilize the Russian government and their actions ongoing in Ukraine.
The world continues to watch the events. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The National Celebrate Life Day rally held in D.C. today to mark 1 year since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, allowing states to ban abortion. Portions of the Yellowstone River in Montana are closed after a train carrying what may be hazardous chemicals derailed and landed in the river. A bridge carrying the train partially collapsed. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
The
Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Listen, your wife, she didn't know you when you back then. You
well,
can be
my
honest.
My wife has known me since I was. My wife has known me since I was 12.
So you probably did something at 11. You probably was a DJ at a couple of house parties at 11.
And I'm 69 now. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can. Did you hear me? My wife has known me since I was 12.
Got it. Good.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844. Did I say that?
You can do a reset.
Yeah. My wife has known me since I
just
was 12.
Just do a reset, because it could have been 13.
Man, that's a long time. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us.
You married up.
967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So, Leroy Butler, the Hall of Fame Green Bay Packers in the studio, man, and I'm loving every second of it, Leroy. Let's talk about your foundation, man. Let's talk about your foundation.
Because I think most kids, because I do a lot of speaking engagements at universities.
And all over everywhere. The state, yeah.
And they don't, when they read the text where I'm from, wait a minute, this guy from the inner city, from the Blodgett homes in Jacksonville, Florida, Duval County, to where at one point for 38 straight days, it was a couple homicides a day. Poverty was out of control. Single parent, I was disabled, and special needs, special education. Couldn't read to my level, but my teachers were my hero. So my mom, who's my hero as well, she said, you know what? You owe it to these teachers to go there and listen. They're going to give you free knowledge. They're the smartest people in the world. So shout out to all the teachers, Earl. And I just listened to mentors. Around. I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. Because I was always afraid that the friend may go do something and then come back and I'm associated with that, it'll give me a bad reputation.
So you were a kid, so you already knew in your mind that there was something bigger you wanted to do with your life.
Yes, I had a discussion with my grandma.
You know, at what age?
This is like 8 years old. The pecking order is, you. Of course you got God.
Right.
Right up under God are grandparents. Not only is it free babysitting, because I got six grandkids. They just drop them off with no backpack. Just go to your grandpa. But my grandma said, listen, God gave everybody a talent. I said, well, grandma, what's my talent? Because I'm disabled. I can't swim. Everybody goes to the pool but me. I'm going to sit on the porch. It's 100 degrees. I'm sweating. She said, you have the best gift because you can ignore anything negative. It don't bother you that you can't run and jump.
Right.
Because you want to play in the NFL. They don't draft eight-year-olds. You got plenty of time. And so my granddad, no filter, he said, listen, peer pressure is why a lot of people are in jail. You've been broke your whole life. Don't go out and hurt somebody. So he taught me about crime and not breaking the law. I took that message and that blueprint, and that's how I made it. Because I kept people around me that hold me accountable. Because if my mom went home, Earl, the neighbor, Miss Brown, she gonna tell on me.
People don't understand that that was the way our community were.
Yes.
And so that's what made them communities. Mm-hmm. And your mother and your grandmother could count on the people in mm-hmm. the closely knit community who didn't have financial things. Mm-hmm. But the value was the children, right?
Yes.
And making sure that the children were safe. Let me do this. Can we bring a caller in quickly?
Of course.
Let's bring Jack from Merrimack on. Hey, Jack, man, thank you very much for the call. Quickly, you have a question or comment for NFL Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. Oh, I'm sorry, Leroy Butler.
I just wanted to say that I'm very impressed with a number of things. The people that are on the Packers football team, so many of them seem to be involved in the community. It might be in Green Bay, it might be in another city in Wisconsin, but there seem to be an awful lot of good people on that team, and you don't hear about that. And maybe it's just you don't hear about it, but you don't hear about it with other teams. The other thing I want to say is that I'm not much for team sports. I was a swimmer in competition for a long time. I'm a rock climber now. Well, that is sort of a team sport. without another person at the other end of the rope, you're in real trouble. But one thing I will say about, people in team sports, they recognize how important it is to have somebody of quality as another part of your team. And that isn't the case in every endeavor I've been in. There's, for instance, there's a lot of musicians that I know who they're afraid that somebody else in their band might show them up. So they don't always pick the best people. Me, if I'm doing some music with a bunch of people, and I do occasionally, I want the best people on that team that I possibly can have, because they'll make me look better.
Hey, Jack, I wish I had more time. We got to run. Thank you very much for the call. So, Leroy, all the things, and we'll try to get to the others if possible, but we've got to get this story out. So you are creating an app.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, man.
Yeah, it's something I've been working on for a long time, especially about 4 years, maybe a year or two before the pandemic hit. And you couldn't go in to see doctor. They had the telehealth thing, which now you can go and look at your, talk to your doctor and therapist. And I get therapy once a week for the last 25 years. That's why I stay so grounded. So I said, I need to develop something for kids. And I said, you know what? Let me go out and try to raise the money to do that. And I'm on a path to do it, where a kid 13, 14 years old, Earl, he could pick his phone up and call a therapist and get free therapy. Now, I'll tell you this. If a kid is having some issues, they don't have anybody to talk to.
That's true.
They just go out and just, they're talk somebody to each else. Other. Yeah. And then you don't want kids raising kids.
Right.
So we're going to have a mental health summit October 28th in Milwaukee. We're putting it together now. I'm going to raise enough money to get an app so these kids can get some therapy, and I think that'll help with a lot of this crime too.
Let me say this, Leroy Butlerworth, with all candor and all due respect, man, that is, if ever there was an idea whose time has come, it's that. Because everything that I read all over this nation talks about the dangers that children are in.
Yes.
And we do know that a lot of it is because of this telephone, the technology, and children are into areas and into things that they should never, that they're too young to even be associated with. Mm-hmm. And some who live in war zones, and some who are just lost because they don't have a strong mother. You were blessed with a strong mother. I was blessed with a strong mother. And so raising children is not easy, is it?
Oh, it's very difficult. I have seven and six daughters and my son.
Wow, six daughters.
Yes, I'm an expert at girls. But my son's my favorite. And I joke with the girls like, he's my favorite because he do what I tell him to do.
Right.
And if you want to be my favorite, work harder. We all laugh about it. But it is, you know,
they're
you gotta understand, they very much so. And they have their situation, but we work it out.
As we all do.
Yes. But the communication part, can we communicate them when we're eating, when they're leveled? So if your kid wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and want to do a TikTok video, you get up and do it. You know, I just try to be accessible for them and give them the platform to be successful.
You know, we live at a time, Leroy, where when you and I were young, we were the most important thing in our parents' lives.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes. No question.
We were.
Yes.
I'm not saying that's not the case now,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't appear to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that they don't love their children. Mm-hmm. There's just so many other things that's going on now.
I couldn't be out when the street lights come on.
No,
I couldn't be outside.
It was 11 o'clock for us.
Yeah, I couldn't be outside. 10
o'clock, and my mother and my mother and father raised 13, and they knew where every one of the 13 was.
Every one of them.
And so they used to do a thing in Milwaukee at 11 o'clock. Parents, do you know where your children are?
Yes.
That was a PSA that came on every
night. Yes.
And today, there are children on the street, 12 years old, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And so your app, because I spent the last 12 years in the school, there are children with psychological issues,
mm-hmm.
and there's nobody to talk to them. Their parents can't get to a professional, right? They just saw their best friend get killed.
Yes.
Nobody professionally can reach them. And when they live in areas like you grew up in Jacksonville, and now Milwaukee and Jacksonville today, and Chicago and Detroit and Cincinnati and Cleveland and Miami and Pittsburgh, children are being killed in the street. Kids need that.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been working on this for a while. You've got some hospitals that – let's talk a little bit about who you – partnered with?
Well, I reached out to Aurora Children's Hospital. Of course, Cavalier, that's my guy.
The mayor?
Yeah, he's talking about mental health for kids. We're going to partner with them. And, you know, everything
you
takes...
You said the NFL?
Oh, the NFL is way involved. Troy Vincent, that's my guy.
Yeah. Former Wisconsin Badger.
Yes. Played for Philly.
Yeah.
The commissioner of the NBA.
Wow.
The WNBA.
Wow.
Everybody says yes. We want to do something specifically for kids. And I went to the FBI, Earl, and say, let's sit down. What are some of the stuff that people who, the predators, how would they access this app? How can I put up a firewall? They said, we appreciate you even coming to us. I went to them first.
Right.
Because when you say kids from 13 to 17, that's a vulnerable group. So how do we stop people from doing accessing this, so they're going to help me with it. So I'm just going to try to raise the money and do it.
So what if the kid doesn't want their parent to know they're talking?
Great question. fantastic question. A lot of kids may tell a therapist something they may not feel comfortable telling their mom or dad. I mean, I tell my wife everything, but I tell the therapist some things that I may not want to share with on the air. But I gave it away to God. Let right. him deal with that. He can deal with negative stuff. I just want to have a clear head and be positive. So you go where you can get what you need, but they don't have it for kids. So I'm trying to reach out to the cell phone company, U.S. Cellular, you know, Apple, Android. You're saying it's like a timer on your phone. Like my son's 12, he has a timer on his phone, and it goes out at a certain time.
So I want to ask you to find just a little spot for a little shot like me to be able to just be around something like that. Because do you know that changes lives? Yes. That changes, you know, it changes the trajectory of a kid's life.
Yes.
In many instances, it can actually save a child's life.
Yes.
Because there is nobody for them to talk to.
Right.
Right? And these are professional people that they'll be talking to.
Therapists. Guys in the military who've seen violence.
Right.
He's going to talk to you and say, this, I dealt with it, PTSD. They need therapy. But for kids to just say, you know, I need somebody to, I took a poll real quick, a poll. What's the number one thing bothering you from 13 to 17? You know, Earl, I thought it was finances, school. It was a breakup. So what?
So hang on. Got to go to a break.
It was a breakup.
Tom and CJ, I'll squeeze you guys in.
Yeah, we'll
get
them
in. Get the question in after we come back from break. The great NFL Hall of Famer, Leroy Butler, and my friend. Be right back. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram and Gilbert Brown.
Wow.
And this morning I'm talking to John Hopkins. John, as we're talking about healthcare, issues associated with healthcare. Before the break, we introduced the subject by talking about how very, very much the United States spends on healthcare. And we didn't get very far in comparing it to how much is spent by other countries. We spend how much per capita, John, you were saying off the air?
Well, 2022, about $12,500 per person.
That's the amount that is expended either by the government or in private ways on healthcare per individual. That number is materially higher than any of the other developed countries by a factor of what? Is it 50% really? Higher?
At least 50%. In many cases, it's 3 times to 4 times higher.
And so we've got more spent, considerably more spent per capita. We also have an immensely larger amount as a percentage of our GDP, approaching 20%. The rest of the developed countries approach 12%. So that's a huge dollar difference. And how much money does the federal government expend on healthcare, John, if you look at like Medicare and Medicaid?
Yeah, so Medicare, which is the system for people over 65, is about $750 billion a year. And Medicaid for disadvantaged is about $730 billion a year. So roughly equal. And that comes to about a third of the total spend in the United States.
So that's a third of the total healthcare spend.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that number is immense, and it's immense. It's immense even compared to our defense budget. For the two of them together are materially larger than our defense budget. Each one of them standing alone is
approaches our defense budget, but not equal to it. But the point is, if we expended the same amount per capita in the United States as other developed countries, those numbers would be much, much lower. So if we're 50% higher, you can take a third of those numbers off, right? I mean, if we were going to try to equal a country that was spending 50% per capita that we spend, how much would those numbers go down?
Well, you'd take well, it depends on the nature of them, but if you took that down to say $300 billion a year each, and you have two components to it. You have the demand. In other words, why are people demanding the healthcare? Do they need it for because of chronic illness or acute illness? And then the actual cost. Once I've decided, oh yeah, I have this chronic disease that needs to be treated, what's the overall cost?
Sure, but we're talking now about the spend. So we're talking about what they spend, which is related to costs. So if we reduced so we got down to a country that had a spend that was 50% less than ours, we'd end up with, let's say, let's take conservative numbers, $500 billion. We could save $250 billion a year off of each one of those expenditures. That's $500 billion a year. That's far more money saved than what Congress ever talks about chiseling off of.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media
News,
app.
I'm Dave.